Today we are going to teach and then take a few confessions of the word and then we will go. Before we read that mark, please quickly open to Psalm 121. The book of Psalms. He said, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? He said, my help comes from the Lord. If you understand verse 1, actually what he was saying. Anyway, let me not discuss that in detail so as not to cause any confusion. My emphasis is from verse 2 anyway. He said, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel we neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. For that reason, he said, the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. What that means is that you will not be without shelter. The Lord will protect you from all evil, not the Nigerian police and not the vigilante in your neighborhood. The Lord will protect you from all evil, not your own smartness, not the bulletproofness of your car. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Now, please bear that one in mind. There's a scripture I will read later. David said that as the eye of the master is, as the servant is on the master, and the maiden is on the mistress, says, so our eyes are upon you, O God. Now, quickly, I said we should open to the first one to Mark chapter 11. I will recommend at this point you read the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, because what I want to discuss briefly, I shared quite a bit of it in that book. In fact, the whole book is centered around this kind of teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Mark chapter 11 from verse 20. Now, and as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Now, this was the fig tree that Jesus spoke against in verse 14 when he had gone there looking for fruit and did not find. So he spoke against that fig tree and said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the Bible says the disciples were listening. Now in verse 20, when they were passing by in the morning, they saw that same fig tree withered from the roots up. That is, the decay began in its root. In verse 21, the Bible says, being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Everybody say that. Have faith in God. Now, verse 23. Now, qualifying what it means to have faith in God, he said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. Now let's just stop there. I want to just read one line again, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them. All right? He said, and they shall be granted you. Now, what I want to explain, I don't have time to discuss that in details again, is that if you read it properly in context, and that's what I discussed in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Jesus, what he was saying here is that if you can believe, that belief was not exactly a commandment, like believe you will receive it and it will be yours. That was, you know, that's where it's written most time. But if you read it properly and realize that this was originally written in Greek and people tried to translate it to English, if you look at it properly, what Jesus actually said was, if you can believe that you will receive them, then it shall be yours. If you can believe that you have received it, then it shall be granted you. The believing there was placed as a condition. Are you getting what I'm explaining? It was not emphasized to them. It wasn't as if you just make up your mind. I remember once, when I was in secondary school, the first time I heard that expression, I was in secondary school, a very young boy then. And one of my seniors, I still remember that encounter very well because it was so strange to me. He said that we're in our hostel and there were bunks everywhere, double bunk beds. And he said that, I can't remember what led the discussion, but he said that if you say to this, it was a scripture I was quoting, that if you have faith, if you can believe that you speak to this bunk and the bunk will leave where it is and go and drop itself somewhere else, that the bunk will actually move. That's just a matter of you just believing. And I remember, I think I experimented a few times while nobody was watching, trying to talk to the bunk and trying to believe. The truth was that I didn't even know what it meant to believe. Do you get what I'm explaining? And of course, all the bunks remained exactly where they were, no matter how long I spoke, and no matter how much I steeled my eyes and my mind, trying to persuade them to shift, they did not shift. Now, you see, what I'm trying to bring out from there is this. You don't just make up your mind at one instant, at a particular point in time, to believe. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. You either have faith in your heart before that time, or you don't have it. Are you getting my point? Listen, you either have faith or you don't have it. And what I taught in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, is for people to build up their faith at all times. I said something to us in the last few weeks when we're teaching about persistence in prayer, that, listen, Christians like to do emergency procedures. Do you understand my point? We like to work as emergencies. Suddenly, we just wake up, we want to pray all night and 2 days at a go. You fast 60 days as a stretch. I don't know why people do such things. I don't even want to learn it. In Jesus' name, God, don't even teach me. All right? Jesus didn't fast more than 40 days. Why do I want to fast 60 days? I'm not going to die for the world. Do you get my point? Now, I'm going to say, just wake up suddenly and start fasting. After that, we stop it. We wake up suddenly and decide we want to pray for 3 days nonstop. We like emergency procedures, just knee-jerk, all right, things. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is a constant walk with God. Are you getting my point? It's a constant walk. Walk before me and be perfect. Don't be in a hurry. Just walk. Make sure you are constantly before me. You are always in my presence. That's what Christianity is. It's not about just trying to take certain critical measures, all right, periodically in life without having a culture of doing what is right. Now, what am I going to explain? That's how faith also is. Faith is a constant walk. You either have faith at a particular point in time or you don't have it. You cannot suddenly decide to have faith now when you didn't have it 1 minute ago. Are you getting my point? Usually what brings all faith into your heart is something that is, you will have had an encounter. You will have had a new piece of information. Something must have been added to you for faith to increase in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't just wake up and decide that, all right, enough of unbelief. Now it is time for faith. No, it doesn't work. If you ever try that, you're fooling yourself. The truth is that something must enter. That's why, let me say to you again, as a Christian, you cannot, listen to this, you cannot survive without constantly listening to the word of God. It will not happen. You know, when we're trying to fix our TV broadcast and all of that, before the time we finally choose, one of the things we're looking at was a Saturday evening, and somebody said that, that's when men watch football. And I remember I said, that's their problem. In fact, it pained me that we found time early in the morning on Saturday rather than late in the evening on Saturday. All right? Go and watch football. I like it like that. Die in your sin. It's your problem. Do you get my point? Everybody has their own issue. It's not. I will not shift the time of my teaching because you're, sorry to use this word, because you're so daft, you don't realize what is important in life. Why don't you watch the recorded match between Man U and Chelsea? Are you getting my point? Why don't you watch the recorded match between Arsenal and Southampton? I don't know what they call them, but Northampton, whatever. Do you get my point? No. As for me to shift the time of a program because some people who don't know what matters in life, all right, I want to go and watch football. May God never allow me to backslide to the level in life where I would do it. If the word of God is not important to you, listen, bro, you are on your own. Do you get the point I'm making? All right? What I'm trying to bring out here is that we must understand the things that are excellent. We must understand the things that are critical. I cannot entertainment. Jesus is Lord. The word wants to come forth, and they are showing some overpaid 22 adults are using you to make more money. And you decide that, yes, you want to go and watch match. Rather than go and listen to the word of God, I think you should see a psychiatrist. In fact, I'm happy we meet on Saturday evenings so that nobody who thinks football is more important than the word of God comes here. I thank God for that because I don't want you anyway. You will dilute the seriousness of the spirit in the atmosphere. What I'm going to emphasize, Christians cannot survive without the word of God. Listen, the amount of faith I had last year is not the amount of faith I have towards life this year. I thank God because I know, I'm not trying to imagine it, I am sure that my faith has increased and something led to it. Are you getting my point? Or some things led to it. Interestingly enough, what increased my faith, the one I can perceive right now, all right, are these very things that I taught. I love teaching because I learn even while I'm teaching. I am encouraged even when I'm preaching the word of God. Because a lot of things I say, most of them actually, are spoken purely by inspiration. I didn't plan to come and excite somebody before I came. I come to deliver exactly what I have come to understand from the word of God. And a lot of times I'm speaking, the word of God comes forth. There was a day, I've told this story several times when I was planning to get married. One day I was sharing with my fiancée, then now my wife. As I was preaching to her from 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, when I finished sharing with her, I realized that the Holy Spirit was preaching to me. From that word, faith was stirred up in my heart, and the problems I had at that time were solved as a result of the entrance of the word of God. Are you getting my point? Listen, you can't listen. Before you buy the latest weavon, buy the latest books. What, do you get my point? Weavon shall pass away. Amen? Do you get what I'm saying? It is the word of God that abides forever. Once that word leaves the pages, because actually the papers profits nothing, it is the spirit that gives life. It's what you are seeing, all right? While you are looking, the spirit writes upon those letters into your heart. Once that thing enters your heart, it abides forever. So if you have to choose between a meat pie and a book, choose a book. If you have to choose between a new weaver or just leaving your head natural. In fact, join Deeper Life for 2 weeks. Six months, so that all the money you spend doing your hair, just go to Deeper Life I have a few churches that I can recommend, see me after. So that when people say, why is your hair like this? Just don't tell them too many stories, I want to buy a book. Just say, for now, I'm going to this church. And instantly, they will understand. Then you get out the money you're spending on salon, doing your hair. You carry that one and quickly go and buy books, buy tapes. Let's say, I don't know where to play it. I'm sorry to say, people say that I don't have an MP3 player. Sell your phone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm not joking about this. I mean it literally. Sell your phone. Go and beg somebody who has an old phone that he's not using currently. There are many people like that. Phones have now become so cheap that people tend to dump old phones. They don't know what to do with it. Nobody wants it anyway. Your 3310s, nobody wants to collect it from you. So there are many 3310s hanging around people's shelves all over Enugu right now, looking for somebody to borrow it. Sell the good phone you have right now. Enter the market. You will find a cheap MP3 player. Buy it. Borrow a cheap 3310 to receive calls. Meanwhile, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So that you have a place to listen to the word of God. The car I drive right now, the thing I love most about the car, it's not the steering, it's not the air conditioner, it's not the coolness of the interior, it's not the fact that the engine doesn't leak a drop of oil. No. It is the fact that it loads 6 MP3 CDs at a go. And I can just chim, 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 listen to Father Bishop Oyedepo, chim, 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 ship to Miles Morrow. When I don't finish, I listen to some music. And that is each particular point in time, I can boast of having like 50 messages, just inside my music set. It's as those things are entering into your heart that faith is being built up. Are you getting my point? See, my wife, they smile one kind because she's been saying that one day I'll just discover that my CD player has disappeared. That you go and fix something like that in her car. I say, I didn't fix this one. The Lord sent it. So we'll pray some more. And at the end of today, you'll pray a good prayer. You'll see, when I finish today, you'll pray a good prayer and a good one will appear. Say amen. Now, please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I'm going to emphasize something, that faith is built up constantly. At the point of need, you either have the faith or you don't have it. And listen, if you get to a point, you'll see what I'm saying in a moment, and you don't have faith for something, don't try. You know what you do? Call somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying? Call somebody. call somebody that has faith. That's when you help one another. And it's not someone who just join his hands and it's not person who knows how to speak plenty words. That's not what I'm talking about. Somebody who really, you know, I was watching TV a few days ago and I told my wife, look at this man. That he talks slowly, he's an elderly man. He doesn't share deep revelation. You get my point? But when the man is talking, I'm always encouraged. His words are simple, but they come out of a heart that's fully persuaded and is experienced in God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You find such a person, and he just holds your hands and shares a word for 2 or 3 minutes, and then prays. That you discover that faith is stirred up in your heart, and where your own faith cannot reach, his own faith cooperating with yours will get to a particular level. But what I'm trying to emphasize is that faith is built up continually. Are you getting my point? All right. So what Jesus was saying here, he said, if you can believe anything that your faith is stirred up to a level that you can believe it, then you will most certainly receive that thing. That as you are praying, if you have an assurance in your heart, like I said, it's not as if you are trying to try. You understand by that expression, trying to try. You're not trying to believe. Say, let us not close our eyes. I refuse to doubt. I know the doubt. Doubt, go. No, you see, you really don't have the faith. When you do, that discussion doesn't really come up. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're fully persuaded. Abraham did not sacrifice Isaac because, hey, my God, this God self, if we don't sacrifice Isaac now, he go vex. Do you understand what I'm saying? He sacrificed Isaac because he was fully persuaded that which he has promised, he's able to perform. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the full persuasion that was inside the heart of Abraham that made him get up to go and sacrifice Isaac. And was not deceiving the mother when he said, the lad and I shall go and sacrifice and we shall return. I don't believe he was trying to deceive the mother. He spoke out of persuasion. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so what I'm bringing here is this. Jesus said that if you have that full persuasion in your heart, there is nothing that you ask for in prayer that will not be granted to you. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Now, that thing is very important. In fact, quickly, let's just read this other scripture. You will see it there. Don't bother opening to it. I'll just read this for you. The book of Mark, chapter 9. The same thing Jesus was speaking there, saying there. That will be around, I think, verse 23. Let me see. Yes, you know the story about the boy who called the disciples of Jesus to pray for his son, who had a spirit, and they couldn't cast out the spirit. And then he came to Jesus, and Jesus asked him a few questions. And he now said to the Lord that, if you can do anything, have compassion on us, that's verse 22, and help us. And Jesus said to him, you're asking me if I can do anything. The issue is not about me being able to do anything, but if you can believe. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you can believe. It is not about me being able. My ability is not in question. Are you getting my point? The issue here is, are you able to believe what I am going to do? Are you getting what I'm saying? It's if you can believe. And he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, as I was thinking about what I'll share today, this thing came to my mind. I want to say something. Maybe I'll continue along those lines, all right, for the next few weeks. On how to pray specifically to receive something from God. Don't forget what I've been teaching all the while. We've been talking about men ought always to pray and not faint. And they must not get discouraged. Their prayer must be constant. And we've said there are two types of prayers there. There is one you pray for yourself continually. And there is one you pray for specific issues that's not about you. Maybe you are praying about the church, for the Church of God in Nigeria. You are praying for the government in Nigeria. You are praying for the nation as a whole. That's the second one. But when it comes to your own personal life, you make a constant confession. And we did a small manual to help us. That's not supposed to be all there is. It's just to give us a guide. You can develop more yourself, write it in, and pray those prayers continually. You don't have to change the words, all right? What I mean is that it's not the dynamics, that is, the fact that your words are so dynamic today, you say, thou shalt, tomorrow thou will, the following day, thou mustest. That's not the thing. The issue, no, really, is the persuasion. Listen, the thing that is inside your heart, all right, that you are giving words to. So you can say the same thing again and again. It's not a vain repetition. There are different types of repetitions. There are vain repetitions and there are useful repetitions. I hope you get what I'm saying. If I recite the Lord is my shepherd with understanding, it's not a vain repetition. Are you getting my point? Yes, I recited, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Next morning, I wake up in the morning and I say to the Lord again, you know what he said? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. How do I dwell? He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. I say different things about him. I get up in the morning and say, oh, somebody has been kidnapped. I say again, he is the one that protects me, all right? The people who are on my side are more than those who are against me. The angel of the Lord, they camp around me and they deliver me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I say that all the time. That's how I dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we said that. Let me not go over all of that again. And now if you are praying for a particular situation, that the words that you use are like the weapons, all right? You are praying for order in the Nigerian society. You are praying for development. You can pray that prayer. And let me just say something to us, by the way. As you pray, one of the things that God will do for you is to open your eyes sometimes, all right, to see specific issues you are supposed to speak about. Now, one prayer I would like us to pray ourselves, and not individually all the time, is that for yourself and for your friends, and your brothers who are in the struggle with you, in the struggle of faith now, is that God will deaden your ears to unnecessary prayer points. No, I'm serious. And open your heart to know the real things that you're supposed to pray about. I'm just saying that, by the way, because every day I hear things, and I feel like these problems distract Christians. Let me just, look, I'm digressing now. I'll go back to what I'm saying. I pray I will go back to what I'm saying. Father God, even if I don't go back right now, help me to go back later. But what I want to say is very important. That prayer may appear simple, but it's crucial. That God will please deaden your ears to unnecessary prayer points and open your hearts to have understanding concerning what really you are supposed to pray. One of the greatest weapons of the devil is distraction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm persuaded concerning this. One of the greatest weapons of the devil is distraction. And the Bible says that hope that is deferred makes the heart faint. If you are praying against what God does not, about what God is not interested in, or what is really not a problem, you will not find any answer and you will be discouraged. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me give you one of those useless prayer points that people, before you know what's happening, they put into your heart. God, nobody from my state has ever been minister of works. That is, God, which word do I use? Okay, that's a Guru Maharajic prayer point. That doesn't have any meaning. I just don't know what else to say. Do you get what I'm saying? No, you know, Christians gather around such things. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, nobody from my area has ever been governor in this state. We pray that there will be equity. As you start talking like that, God just look you. Say, look at your head. Go to Israel. Ask them how many people were kings outside Judah. And I appointed them. This is my brethren. Those are not serious prayer points. Are you hearing my point? Look, what I'm saying so is that because as I go out every day, we allow the world infiltrate into the church. The worries of the world becomes our worries. The things that bother people who are not believers, it becomes our own problem. And we carry that anger, all right, into our prayer closet. And as soon as we enter, Baba God excuses himself to go somewhere else because you are angry about things that are not real. Now, forget the fact that I've just said something about the nation. Sometimes there are issues in your family. You are praying and all your prayer is out of anger. Do you get my point? How come my brother is the only one that, dear Lord, there will be equity in this home, and justice. You are the God that loves justice. God can say, because they have been sharing things the way you don't like it. And the day a man came to Jesus and said, ask my brother to share it with me. He said, who made me a judge and an arbiter over you? And he began to teach, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. I discovered that a lot of us as believers, we are learning the problems, the things that are bothering the world, is beginning to be our own issue. And we carry it into church. Something happened many years ago. And I was attending a church, let me color it properly. And I will go to a church, this particular church, and the pastor will come and be preaching some messages. And I'll ask myself that, what's this bro's problem? So finally, I wasn't married then, so it wasn't my wife. I told, okay, it was my friend. I had not even met my wife that time. So I told my friends, I said, this guy's problem is that he reads too many newspapers. Do you get my point? So the prayer points were based upon the analysis of Punch. Prayer points were based upon the analysis of Vanguard. Prayer points were based on the analysis of this day. All right? You were basing prayer points on one unbelieving editor's opinion of the issues of the earth. And you were prophesying out of anger. It didn't really upset me. Then one day, certain some things happened. I wasn't around. God was so good. Everybody said, God is good. One day I came back, a friend of mine called me and said, ah, do you know what happened? I said, what happened? He said, one day pastor showed up in church. That was when I realized that, look, I'm not a prophet, you know what I'm saying? But then sometimes we have understanding. You sound like one. He said, the lady said that, Banky, what you said is exactly right. That you know, another guy, two of them, a lady and another my friend. He said that, do you know what you say is exactly what happened? Now, pastor came to church one day and said that he has stopped reading newspapers for now. That he discovered that he was becoming a Nadeko prophet. You know what they call Nadeko? Yes. I said, oh, but I worshipped God that day. Because this was an anointed man who had been distracted. So he announced that for some time, he's not going to read any newspaper. That was when I knew once again that God is alive. No, really. That only God could do that. We didn't discuss it. But from a distance, I just used to see, this thing is not supposed to be like this. You know, so you discover a man sharing revelation based on anger. Sharing revelation because he's angry with the society. And of course, when they begin to pray, the prayer is, Lord, we pray for the different nations in this country. That is, we are not one country. We are not one country. Look, I want to preach somewhere. Let me not mention. Somewhere in this town. And the big guy over that denomination came to town some months ago. And I heard him preaching. No, I had preached one of those days. I just went to attend. Yes, my friend invited me. And he was saying that, what nation are we calling Nigeria? Or that Nigeria is not a nation. There's the imagination of some white men. We are not a country. He went ahead from the pulpit and I bent my head. It is not possible for him to raise a prayer point in that church that God will hear. That's about the nation. Because, you know, it's very common amongst those of us who are from the south, all right, that we feel like, you know what I mean, this is a north-south issue. We now raise prayer points out of ignorance. When the Bible says clearly, these are righteous people, they don't judge after the sin of their eyes or the hearing of their ears. The editors of newspapers don't teach the believers how to pray. That prayer point I've said is very important. That God, letting my ears to unnecessary prayer points. You can shout or you shout. You know, more bank MDs went a few days ago. Sometimes, now please, what I want to say, I'm not passing any judgment on the issues in the banks. I don't know what's going on. I don't like to talk like a stupid man. You know who a stupid man is? A man that has no idea about what is going on and is passing judgment. I don't know what is going on. All right? I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I am not saying there is no agenda from any segment of Nigerian, geopolitical distribution. I'm not saying there is none. And I'm not saying there is. What I'm saying absolutely on neutral ground. All right? Now, what I want to say is this. You don't know what God is doing. Sometimes you can raise a prayer point and fight the last prayer point you prayed 2 years ago. I don't know where I get my point. You got up and you pray certain crucial prayers and God is now set to answer. And when the answer breaks forth, say, Lord, we will not agree. Not here. He said, what do you want me to do now? 2 years ago, you guys spent nights for months praying that I should restructure things so that there will be stability. Now I have started. Do you follow what I'm saying? How God will answer that prayer for you, I don't know. But it's a crucial prayer that you ask God, please, deaden my ears to unnecessary prayer points and open my heart to understand that which I should really, really speak about. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of this is because there's a Bible called the double-minded man who does not receive anything from God, who the Bible says is unstable in all his ways. Now, I'm bringing out something. Remember what we started this from? That if you can believe. Now, back to what I was trying to explain. Let me tell you something. The prayer of the believer is very potent. Do you hear what I said? The prayer of the believer is what? Very potent. The child of God's prayer, especially, let me say this again. When they are united and they gather about an issue that commonly affects them, or even though it does not commonly affect them, it affects one of them, but everybody has decided to feel the pain of the person that it's affecting. Their prayers are very potent. Let me say this. I believe, I am convinced, I have no doubt in my heart that the serious prayers we have prayed for this nation is working very, the prayers are working seriously. They are working very seriously. Don't read the jokers who tell you that Nigeria is 49. What do they have to show for it? As if it's a human being. It's human beings that are fools at 40 and are fools forever. Nations can be full at 200 and they have not yet started. Are you getting my point? So let them say a toddler still crying at the age of 49 said Nigeria is not a human being, it's a nation. The way you judge the development of a nation is not the same as the development of a human being. Are you following the point I'm making? So let not all those rubbish we read in newspapers, nonsense. But one day I was somewhere, okay, it was on October 1st, I went to go and renew my DSTV subscription. So some people were saying, happy independence, and you know, all those kind of things. And I said, what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating? A nation that has 49 years, and I was looking at them and said, look at these jokers. They do know how to count their blessings. I can assure you, Nigeria is far more advanced today than it was 40 years ago. For your information, Nigeria is more developed today than it ever was. Now, as a nation, it is. And let me announce to you again, it is going forward and is not going backwards. Let me prophesy to you again, any man who will stand in the path of progress, in the forward motion that our prayers and our agreement with God has set this nation upon, the person will die suddenly. Listen, he's the one that will be destroyed, and everything he puts his hand to will fail. He is the one that will go backwards. He will not be able to stop the rest of us from going forward. Listen, I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. God is working, and the devil can't stop it. No human being can stop it. As long as you and I remain in faith, we have decided what really we want from God. We want to go forward, and we are not going backward. No human being can stop it. You can appoint him president today. I remember the prophecy I gave many years ago. I told you I'm not a prophet. You know that? I speak out of what? Understanding. Good. A man stood up. No, I was somewhere. One of my brethren said something against the head of state of the country at that time. And I turned to him. I said, stop talking like that. That it is forbidden for you to speak like that about the head of your country. And he turned to me and said, nah, I'm waiting. Now God put him there. And I didn't say anything further. Because, you see, I don't want to help you put yourself into judgment. If I love you so much, let me stop the whining there. All right? Because when you murmur, you enter, you are destroyed in the wilderness. So let me not help you murmur further. But I kept quiet. But in the evening, I felt I should correct. I had to teach. I had a program, and I was going to teach in the evening. So I got up to speak. I said, please, while I get up to my message, let me just help some of us. And I said something about what happened earlier in the day. I didn't mention what happened. I just said, look, about speaking about the nation and all of that. That please, let's be careful. That indeed, every leader is appointed by God, whether you like it or not. Including Adolf Hitler. Are you getting my point? Adolf Hitler was appointed by God. You may not like him. 6 million Jews smoked. Mm-hmm. That was his assignment. Smoke 6 million Jews. Now, I don't have time to explain. Is that okay? Some people won't like me because of what I have said, but that means they don't know God. They don't care about truth. I don't care what they think. All right? Stalin, all those people, God knew and he raised them up for his own purpose. So I said something like that then, and I said, look, when God is tired of the leader of your nation, he will kill him suddenly and he doesn't discuss with you. Do you know, I think 6 weeks later, Abacha dropped dead. Suddenly Abacha dropped dead. I think a few weeks later. As if to say, look, I told you guys, you don't need to be fighting. That when God is tired, a man will just die suddenly. When MK Abela died shortly after, You were fighting all over Lagos. I said, this guy ain't fighting nobody. You must understand that when David refused to raise his hand to fight against Absalom, when he said to run, when he said, don't kill, don't hurt the lad, he knew what he was doing. When, even after they won the battle, when the battle commenced, and he didn't go back into the city, all right, until the elders came and brought him back in. It was because he was a man who had understanding that this boy was not acting by himself, but was acting against, under the influence of the spirit of judgment that God has had passed upon him, David. Are you getting what I'm next, babe? So when all this was happening, I just said, you guys, better relax. Let God settle what he wants to settle in this country. Now, people, when you, those who don't understand will think that you are saying that some wrong things are correct. No, I am saying that when God wants to work, all right, he will use things that are wrong fundamentally to fulfill his purpose. Are you getting my point? That's what he does. Please, I want us to bear that one in mind. And in this country, God is still doing it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't be discouraged. God is still working. Every progress that we have made, especially the ones that were birthed spiritually in the place of prayer, any human being that wants to retard it because of personal gain or the gain of his own segment of the country is just signing up for premature death and early destruction. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. All right? If you have an uncle, a brother, somebody in power, pray for him that God, may my uncle, may my father, may my brother not stand against your progress. Lord, when he wants to start standing against you, may he fall sick and come home. When he wants to start standing against you, may they organize against him and dismiss him from the group. But Lord, don't let him die because he's standing against your progress. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Let me say it again. The prayer of the people of God, those prayers are very powerful unless they are not pointed. Do you get my point? When people have gathered the whole night and they are chasing unnecessary prayer points. Let us pray that this 2000 and, when is the next election? 11. Our governor shall come from this local government. You know, it's not God that sent you that one. You're on your own. The president shall come from this area. It's not God that sent you that one. You're on your own. All right? You are wasting precious time. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain there. All right. Now, please, let me just sit on what I'm trying to say. All right? I hope you are learning something, Sha. All right. So, what I was trying to say earlier is this. Talking about if you can believe. I said, as I along the line, I went into talking about necessary prayer points. There's a reason why I went into that. You know, there's something that James said. Let's quickly read it to help me explain what I want to say. The book of James, chapter 4. It's one scripture I like to quote from a lot when I'm trying to explain some principles in Christianity. Let's read from verse, should we start from 1 or verse 3? All right, let's start from verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? He said, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious. When he talks about murder now, he's talking about hate coming from inside people. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have, this is why you don't have, he said, because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. And what's the motive? So that you may spend it on your pleasures. I like King James here. He uses the word lusts. Then he went ahead in verse 4 to explain the attitude of God towards those who are worldly minded. He said, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures speak to no purpose when it says, he jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. That is, he desires that that spirit will be used properly and be focused upon him. In verse 6, it says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, let me just explain that thing. The issue I want to bring out here is, if I'm even happy, this one is also here, about double-mindedness. Because the Bible says that the one who is double-minded does not receive anything from God. Now, this is what he means when he talks about double-mindedness. Because I said the prayer of the saint is very potent if it is properly focused. Are you getting my point? And now these are the reasons he was saying why Christians pray, and it appears like their prayers don't have effect. And he said, number one, it's about motive. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, let me just say something here. When you want to ask God for anything, that's, you know, that was the main thing I wanted to talk about. The first thing you check is the motive for your specific prayer. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Now, motive is what decides whether you are double-minded or not double-minded. Now, there are different levels to double-mindedness. There's something I want to bring out. Double-mindedness, sometimes we create unnecessary double-mindedness. Let me explain what I'm saying. You want to ask the Lord for a car? People have said something. Let me say it again. People have said that you ask, you know, you have to be specific with God. Do you want a Toyota or you want a Nissan? Do you want it to have 4 tires or 6 tires? Do you want leather interior or cloth? Do you want alloy rims? Then the color of the car. Which year? Which model? I don't have time to explain. If you like to live long, don't go into such details. I do not have time to explain. Some people won't like it. But you see, we don't have all the time to break these things down. But I want to ask, just beg you, if you like long life and sanity, don't go into such details. Are you getting my point? Because if you do, the devil will use you to play. You won't get anything. It's what I call unnecessary double-mindedness. Because the day shall come that God will say, the car will be perfect, but even at Twitter you talk, Nissan go show. That is, the car will be so perfect. The alloy rims, the interior, everything, except say, oh my God, I said Toyota, now which kind of temptation is this one? Look at this one. And you call it to you in faith. Don't change your mind. Look, you see, people like to tell stories that when I did it, it worked. Well, fine. God bless you. All right? What worked for you? I'm not saying it never worked for you. But I'm just advising those who are listening to me. Please, don't go into such details. I think they're unnecessary. I don't know how you will be able to hold your heart steady in the matter of color, as an example. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Usually, when you paint pictures like that, it's one car you saw before. You know that? There was a car you saw before. I hope you are following what I'm saying. And tomorrow, you will see one that is finer than the one that you saw before. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all you can ask or even think of. Now, so let's get that one clear. It is possible for you to ask for something and God gives you something better than the one you had conceived. I hope you are hearing it. Don't limit him with the limits of your personal imagination. The cars that will bless you the most, you have not seen them. But God, who knows what will bless you the most, is arranging it now that you have not even seen it. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I always tell people, please, avoid such unnecessary details. It creates double-mindedness. After your money is complete, God will now show you one nice little Jeep that's better than all the cars you have prayed about. What do you go do now? Say, Lord, this was not what I asked for. Drive it away. No, you won't do that. So this is my opinion. You don't have enough capacity mentally, because the matter of information that you have, to be that detailed in the things you're asking for. People can say that this man did it. Yeah, well, fine. I think those are unusual manifestations. They are not the normal things. I like my wife every day. And I, you know, if we had to start all over again, I'll marry her again, all right? But I'll be honest with you, as God is my witness, I'm not lying about that. I did not picture her height, her complexion. God is my witness. I am not lying. If I lie to you, this word won't bless you again. So I can't lie. I want to live long, so I cannot lie to you when I'm instructing you with the word of God. I used to say, whether my wife is short or tall, I don't care. Whether she's fat or slim, I don't care. And my wife has been swinging between fat and slim in recent times. I said, I don't care. Whether she's fair or dark, as God is my witness, make no difference to my life. I only said something. There are spiritual things. Is that okay? You remember what he said here? If you're a friend of the world, all those kind of person fair or dark or short or tall, it's called friend of the world. You hear me, so? Oye, nanu? It is called what? Friendship with the world. After all, you know, I've been telling you, 50% of those girls that call themselves models are infertile. You hear so? So don't let any model tell you what is fine. Half of the men who make their clothes are homosexuals. You don't know that? Versace was a certified homosexual. Don't let anybody fool you. Look, don't let anybody tell you who's fine, who's not fine. If you like a woman, you like her. That is, it's not concern you. Do you get what I'm saying? Yoruba man has a saying. Said, the one I like, you don't like it. That's why we don't contribute money to marry the same woman. We can't contribute money to buy car, buy bus. But marriage, no. You use your money to marry your own. I use my money to marry my own. Are you getting the point that I'm making? You know, it's so crucial. It is the world that tries to say, look, most people want to die for Homan. You know, they have stopped making it now. Apart from the one that some crooks drive from a distance, they've never seen one. They've never entered one, never gone near one. But the world told them that if you have one, we respect you and rank like Dede you and know that your God is good. I rant nonsense. What am I saying? When it came to marriage matters, I like the way Lyle said it. He said, I will draw my knowledge from afar, my wisdom from afar. He said, I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. I said, there are three things the Holy Spirit. I told you about my entrance into the kingdom. You know, we discussed that on Saturday. The entrance into the kingdom. This was what I saw. One, you don't love the word of God, you can't be my wife. According to, is it Prince? You don't have to be rich to be my girl. Yes, that's true. But you must love the word of God to be my wife. Very, very crucial. Number two, if you think me and you are mates, and you can be talking to me anyhow, counsel. Because Sarah honored her husband so much, he called him my Lord. Number three, you must believe I can teach. Do you understand my point? I can even forgive you that second one. But you must have faith in my calling. Do you get my point? You must believe that God created me to preach the gospel. If I don't come across to you like that, two cannot work together except they agreed. Those were the things for me that were from above. Are you getting my point? And I said that thing so much. One day a lady asked me, a friend of mine, she said, Banky, what exactly do you like in a woman? And I told her these things, and she smiled. Why did she smile? She said, I asked you this question 2 years ago. These were the same things you told me. I couldn't change my mind. They were based on solid things. As a young boy, I wanted to marry a lady that was about to reach me here for height and be very thin. Do you know why? Should I tell you the reason? I watched, what's the name of this film? This film now, Ten Commandments, yes. I don't know how many of you saw Ten Commandments. I was a small boy. I mean, like, age of that kind of 8 to 10. Do you understand? And for the first time, I saw, you know, big guys. You know, those guys. See, they are yams, you know. They wear those, their warrior robes, you know. And then, you know, see the women, you know, the women were generally shorter than them. So in my mind, unconsciously, I created a picture. So you must look like Moses and the princess in Israel, in Egypt. It was just in my mind. I know where I got that picture from. It was from Ten Commandments. My brother, when you grow, you realize that one are female.
You know, I thought every Indian girl was very pretty. Until I grew up in real life, I realized, oh boy, it's not like that. Most Nigerian girls are finer than Indian girls. Believe me, they chose out of 1 billion people, they chose the finest of the lot. When you were young, two guys, you wanted to marry an Indian girl, no be so. After watching Number 10 and Jugnu. When you woke up to reality, you realize, bros, you don't want garlic smelling all over your house. Now, you are getting the principle of what I'm saying. Now, these are the reasons why our prayers don't have effect. That's what I'm trying to explain. We pray on unnecessary prayer points. We pray prayer points that are fashioned, all right, around what the Bible calls worldliness. I like the way James said it here. You know, he described it. This is why you pray and you don't get anything. Because the prayers are fashioned, you know, according to your lusts. I now went ahead to describe what he was saying. That don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? If the world teaches me what is beautiful, then I'm walking in a manner that's displeasing to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. When you want to make a prayer before God, make a request. The first thing you address is what? The matter of what? Motive. Why am I asking God for what I'm asking for? Ah, God, you know, it's been 5 years since I left that campus, so I can't go back there. We are going for reunion next week or next month. I can't go back there without driving. God said, very fine. You had better, now, let me just tell you something, guys, ladies too. You had better go without driving. That year, no, there are tests that God gives you. You fail, he punishes you. Now, I don't mean that's a joke. You know, people say that God is a kind God. Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God will say, oh boy, you are going to go. I said, no, without a car. Come on. I said, it's not right. Fine. If you want a car quickly, bros, go. Yeah, wait and talk so. I beg you in the name of God, go. Swallow your pride. Confess your pride. Do you get my point? And say, dear Lord, I am foolish. This is pride. I reject it. This is vainglory. Because if you refuse to go, because of that car, God will say, you won't see one for the next 6 years. Watch me. The day you finally... No, I'm telling you, people don't like to hear this. Like God is always, oh, Chukubike, don't be angry. You're my son, I love you. All right, I forgive you all your wrongdoings. God will say, oh, Chukubike, you don't grow now. You do wrong, I flog you periodically. That's how God is sometimes. You will finally buy one. Say, yeah, next year we are going. As they go for road. With all the confession of protection you have confessed, two boys will come kidnap you inside your own car. Some of them are angels, not human beings. Police can't kill them. They will drive you away, keep you somewhere. When the whole program is over, they will release you, except that the car will have accident as they are going. You will be safe and sound, your car is gone. And from your heart, you will hear it again. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Baba God will say, are you going for reunion next year? He said, Lord, I go go. You want it? No, Lord, a bicycle is all right. I will try. Just give me a lift. you don't know God. I know what I'm saying, and I don't mean that as a joke. That's the kind of thing he does. He said, they ask and they don't receive because the prayer points are fashioned by lust, pride, vainglory, competition, the competitive spirit. If my friends can do it, I can do it. I'm the only one amongst them that have not yet built a house now. I'm the only one that has not yet married. I'm the only one that doesn't have children yet. And the prayer is, you know, the original Hannaic prayer. You know, there are two types of Hannah prayers. I keep on inventing these words. I hope you know. There's no book that contains them. I invent them as a spur of the moment. The original Hannaic prayer was directed against Penina. You get what I'm saying? And year by year, Penina they born periodically. Tua. Tua. When Penina sneezed like this, now picking. Hannah, nothing. Finally, Hannah say, okay, God. All right, I get the point. All right. Just give me one and you can have him back. I don't even want any child in the house again. Elijah said, are you sure about that? He said, yes. I can have him, so you are not going to, you are not going to use him to be flogging Penina around the house. He said, Lord, I swear, no. He said, fine, then you can have him. And as soon as she fulfilled the vow she made concerning the life of that boy, then more children began to pour. They have not because they asked according to their lust. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I said something earlier. I said, if you can believe, that's where we began from. I'm not going to bring out something here. The spirit of faith, read that book, please. Read it. Great faith can be yours. The spirit of faith is stirred up inside you when your prayers are motivated correctly. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are motivated correctly. Listen, if God delays, oh God, I wish you understand. The prayers of the children of God, of the saints of God, are very powerful. If God delays in answering, one of two things is happening. Number one, either the time is not ripe, or number two, the motive was wrong from the beginning. But I did not hear, no, it's not true. Let me say, tell you another thing. We'll continue this one next time. There is nothing, now, I'm coming to I'll close here. There is nothing that you truly, now you see, I've been saying this again and again. When we make statements, certain things are implicit in those statements. When Jesus will talk, whatever you desire, certain things are implicit. That is, when he said whatever you desire, he was talking to his disciples, not to the Pharisees. Are you getting my point? He was talking to his disciples, not to Herod. He was talking to his disciples, not Roman soldiers. So when he said whatever you desire, it does not include the head of John the Baptist on a platter. You are getting what I'm going to explain. All right? He knew, he assumed he was talking to godly people. Now, let me make my statement. Whatever you desire as a child of God. Now, what I mean by that is, you understand, we have filtered out godlessness. We have filtered out what? Worldliness. Whatever you truly desire in your personal life, believe me, you will get it. I don't mean very spiritual thing. Lord, I desire that the angels will fly around with clouds. No, you know what I mean? You want to sound holy and spiritual. That is good. Amen? You will also get that one. All right? But I mean even things that are mundane. I'll give you an example. It's a very funny example, but listen to this. I told my wife long ago, and I told God, that I would take my wife all over the world. It's not a very spiritual thing. It's personal. I like it. I'm not competing with anybody. I'm not planning to take your wife all over the world. It's my own. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not planning to take another man's wife. It's my wife. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to impress anybody. It's just what I have desired, I will do. And believe me, there is no matter how silly it appears, there is no such desire in my life, all right, that either has not been granted or I am persuaded will be granted. No, you see, what I'm telling you, I don't mean it as a joke. I decided to use that one so that you know I'm not talking about very spiritual things like I pray that the way of success will be heard in every corner of the globe. I know that one will sound very spiritual to you, right? Good. That one too. It will happen, though. But I want to tell you that it's even simple things. There are things I like. I just say, I will buy one very big car and make the number plate on the car, Mrs. B. I'm not trying to impress you. I want to just look at it and feel happy with myself. It has to do with my personal stomach, not your own. That is the sweetness of my stomach. There is not, no matter how wide, if I desire, now see, get what I'm saying? If I desire that, my wife, listen, for your 50th birthday, I will give you a private jet. If I want it, believe me, I will get it. I'm not joking about that. I am not joking about it. He said, my help comes from the Lord. Not from my pocket. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. I like one thing my pastor Paul, you said once. So that Jesus asked the disciples and said, whatever you ask in my name, he told them that whatever you ask in my name, that this is what it means. That he didn't expect them to ask for things that were easy. Otherwise, he wouldn't have emphasized the fact that they had to ask the Father in his name. Do you know I've never gone to the bank and asked in the name of Jesus to collect my money? In fact, I shout if the money doesn't come on time. Waiting the worry now for this place itself. I won't bank here anymore. Come on, give me my money. It's not a hard thing. It's my money. I like the way he illustrated when he was discussing it. He said, can you imagine that the president is your friend? And he says that, all right, I'm leaving office in a month's time. What would you like me to do for you? And you now tell him, my children are going back to school next week. Can I have like 25,000 naira, out of your security vote to pay their school fees? So the man will look at you and say, I don't think you heard me well. Or I don't think you know who you are talking to. If you wanted 25,000 naira, go and ask somebody else, another one of your friends. You don't walk to the front of the president and he's telling you, ask for something I can do for you and ask for 25,000 naira. What he means is that, have you applied for a radio license and it has not been granted? I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. What he means is that, listen, are you trying to build a few filling stations and NNPC is holding your license? Those are the kind of things you talk to him about. Okay, do you want me to help you so that you become amongst the big guys who do big jobs for Nigerian government? Those are the kind of things he expects you to ask. I didn't say that, okay. But country rough, boys no go mind that kind of 100K. The man go look like. That's not what we are discussing. You are not asking according to my power now. Do you get my point? You are asking according to the little needs that you have. And this is a wrong place to use that kind of favor. You are following what I'm saying? The way Bill Clinton did it before he left office? You know what he was giving out to his friends? What only a president could give. The all American presidents, don't think, it's not only here that man, no man, everywhere over the world, man, no man. My friend was telling me the other day from the UK. He said that, listen, if you talk about corruption, it annoys him that nobody is more corrupt than the white people. That there's no minister there that leaves office that does not enter a big board. There will be members of boards everywhere for a job well done, where they were primary, where they were a minister, in the British government. Yeah. What are you going to do? He has left office. I left office. It's not a crime. You can whine and complain. He's not planning to contest again. When Bill Clinton was leaving office, and all American presidents do it, the last things they do is to start granting pardon. What they call pardon? For those of you who know what they call pardon, if you killed 5 people and the president grants you pardon, you can contest election the following year. A pardon is like the blood of Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. I remember all the... remember Richard Nixon? Those of you who know of the Watergate crisis. The moment Johnson... I think it was Johnson that took over from his vice president. The moment Ford... Was it Johnson or Ford? Ford. Yeah, it was Ford. Are you sure? Don't confuse me now. Anyway, whoever it was, the moment he took over, as soon as Nixon resigned and he took over, the first function he performed as president was to grant Nixon pardon. Gerald Ford, yes, you're right. Gerald Ford, yes. And I remember very sure because, for sure, I watched him on CNN, Larry King, a few years ago. Larry King was asking him about that. He said he did that. He said he did that so as to put an end to all the crisis. Because if he did not, investigations will continue, prosecution will start. As soon as he entered office, he granted the man pardon concerning everything he did that had to do with that Watergate crisis. So when the president said, what can I do for you? He then said, oh God, they never catch me yet, but let me confess to the sin. Now which of the 6 billion naira will come out that time? So right now, let's get some people to catch me. All right, then you grant me pardon. Now, I'm trying to tell you the kind of request you make when you get to presidential level. You don't go out for shmo money. Therefore, when you want to pray, why don't you ask God for something that it's only with God that it is possible? Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't ask for things that are common. There are prayers I don't want to pray because I just discovered they're just not necessary. And some of them I'm not bothering to pray. I know that there is this beyond what I can ask or think God will do in my life. Let me tell you about material things. What God doesn't want is for us to focus on them and make them the objects of our life. But anything you want in life, ask God for it. One day you'll get it. Believe me. I've told you before, there's not, look, tell God I want a house the size of Puff Daddy's house that will be filled with clothes. Baba God, no mind though. One day you discover that you have a big house and it's your wardrobe. The kitchen is the next house. The bedroom is the next building. Is the room is the front of the compound. With 175-inch plasma TVs all over the place. Look, that one doesn't, God doesn't, that's not an issue. If you know, it's more difficult for him to make a flower of the field than to make those things. I don't know what I said. The life in the flower of the field is more precious than all the plasma TVs. I heard a man preach it many years ago. How did he prove it? He said, the Bible says that Solomon in all of his glory was not as clothed as one of the grasses of the field. So you see, for him, it's nothing. The problem is our heart where it is. The problem is the motive for what we are asking. So I told my wife then, and I've asked the Lord about it. In fact, the kind of recently I had dreams on other dreams. So one day I'll all get to pack up my children, carry them, go one foreign country for 6 weeks, or all of it. Don't mean I just chop life. Say, Pastor Mark, don't you know souls are perishing? Whether they go to America or not, souls will perish. Whether they go to Australia or not, souls will perish. Whether they go to New Zealand or not, souls will perish. That was what Jesus said when he said that the poor you have with you always. And you have to understand that God is bringing forth resources out of his person. He's not sharing out the meager resources on the earth. Are you getting my point? So the one that I use to make myself feel good is not at all in any way going to deplete the amount required or available for the preaching of his gospel. If you can believe, one of the reasons why we can't believe is where we focus on when we think of where God will bring forth his resources from. Maybe in your mind. Now, if I say this, you know how much I don't like people who make football the object of their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? But let me say this, it will surprise you. If you tell God, I would like to go and watch a UEFA Cup final live or World Cup final live, he can do it as easily as, believe me, very, very easily. Now, I want to use that as an example. Why a lot of us can't ever ask is because we have been poor all our lives. Therefore, if God were supposed to, if he gave you the ticket and the flight ticket, you will sell it. you will sell it so fast that in fact, many of you has given you have sold it in your heart. The angel will say, Baba God, as I reached near in door, the guy was already advertising on radio. Now I bring my ticket, come back. Baba God say, you cannot return to me, void. Go and give somebody else. No, I'm telling you the truth. That's what I'm talking about. What if you can just believe? Are you getting my point? Look, we can't discover all of these things in one day. But this is, you know, it's crucial, it's critical. That you take your eyes away from your person and put your eyes only on God. As a servant looks to the hand of the master, so your eyes must be upon God alone. Let me end my message today with one word, all right? With God, nothing shall be impossible. No matter how physically difficult it appears to human beings, with God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. No matter how, let me be like this, how unspiritual it appears, like I told you just now, you want to go and watch UEFA Cup final. You know, it's a very trivial thing. You know how trivial it is. But God does not only grant serious requests, he grants even trivial ones also. With God, nothing shall be impossible. What God wants is to build your faith to a level where you can believe. I hope you're getting my point. Why did I say all of this? The last things I said. We limit our requests based upon our own personal history and our abilities, not knowing that God is not counting on those things. Come down here to pray. Bow down your heads to pray. If you wish, you can stand. But I want us to take one single prayer point as we close. Please don't pray any spiritual in quotes prayer right now. You have prayed that the gospel will be preached all over the nation. That's not what I wanted to pray right now. You have prayed that righteousness will be established in your family. But that's not what I wanted to ask for right now. There is one thing, material thing, some seemingly not important thing, that deep inside your heart you will have really loved to have. Are you getting my point? I want you to think. Think down. Concentrate. Don't look at me. Think down inside your heart. God, I used to dream that one day I would take a trip around 6 European countries. Lord, I would like to own a company that deals in this. Right now, I don't have a serious education. I don't have money. Now, I want you to think on those levels. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Because what I want for you to understand is the ability of God to do anything. Sometimes God will do this thing just to show you something, like Jesus did for Peter. Peter harvested all the fish, and after all, Jesus said, come, leave them behind. Follow me. So please, look inside you. There is something. I'm not talking about those very spiritual things. I've always prayed that one day, my voice will bless every human being with the message of righteousness. That's a good prayer point, all right? But that's not what I'm asking for today. Say, Lord, I always wanted to have this kind of big bike. Those heavy ones. But I know they cost so much. I don't even have money for slippers. You know, those kind of things. Don't think about them. And I want to, now, if you just think about something like that. Oh, my children, I always wanted to take them to Disneyland. Let them go and play. I saw something that looked like Disney the other day in South Africa. I would love to take my children there. You know, those kind of things. Just think on those levels. I hope you are there. Well, for those of you who are ready, now, next thing I want you to do, I want you to just start saying after me, Father, I thank you. Use your own words if you like. Father, I thank you because you are the great provider. With you, nothing shall be impossible. Just say that. That all the resources on earth, Lord, I know they are in your hands. Therefore, I am asking you to give this thing to me. Just ask for that thing. Now, I don't know the day he's going to do it, but believe me, if you pray this prayer now, you will most certainly get it. You have prayed very spiritual prayers, I know, but today I want you to understand that God is concerned about everything in your life. I always wanted to do a PhD in Liverpool. I wanted to go to Yale, all right, and get a master's degree. These are universities abroad. Maybe Liverpool charge you £30,000 or £15,000 for your MSc. You have never seen £200 put together. Good. It is not you that will pay. I want you to ask God, say, Lord, give me the resources. I want to go and do my LLM. Give me the resources. I want to go. There was this university I saw in Singapore. I would like to attend and do my postgraduate diploma there. I am asking you for it. You are my God, and with you, nothing shall be impossible. I'm not asking because I want to compete with anybody. I want what I want because I want it, and it makes my soul glad. Jesus said, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Ask, and you shall receive whatever you shall ask in my name. You are using the most powerful name on earth that can save souls, that can raise the dead. There's nothing that he can't do. Now, begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, I believe I've received it in the name of Jesus. I believe I've received it in the name of Jesus. I believe I have received it in the name of Jesus. I believe I have received it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. If you have learned anything today, say amen.